Okay, everybody, so we left off last week. We were discussing a shiloh, rather complicated shiloh, about whether or not it's permissible for a woman to recite Kaddish on behalf of a parent who died. So we're holding over here in the booklet that says Noshim Ba'amiras Kaddish, page 3. So we went through the different opinions from the Achrayim in the 1700s. We discussed the opinion of the Chavis Yoyeh versus the Shmos Yankiv. And then we discussed some of the contemporaries. We pointed out that Reb Henkin has a very strong letter in Kisri, Reb Henkin, where he permits it. We have a letter in one of Reb Moshe's Tshuva. He points out that it was somewhat common to have women coming and say Kaddish. And we left off last week with Rabbi Lau, who was not a big believer in Reb Henkin's letter, and he, for that reason, disagreed, and he does not permit women to say Kaddish. Now, if you take a look at number 18 in the Ratz Katzvi, Reb Tzvika Reisman quotes over here from a journal in the Yarchan Hadoyrim. Quotes in the journal number 18. He says, "Kaseh B'Yoel Valadsky, Lefnei Ke'esim Shana, about 20 years ago, Kishin Isayir Hashelo. He had this question: Ha'im Bonis Yemru Kaddish? Can girls say Kaddish? Be'echad Asnifim Shal Yavne, Be'kashdi Me'echad Atamidim Shal Gvitz Alavetchik, La'hatigas Hashelo Lefir Rav." So he picked a good day to come join us in person. You could tell us maybe what you remember. So he asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, what's his opinion? What was Rabbi Soloveitchik's opinion about a girl reciting Kaddish? So what happened over here? So he says, "Lahalan sitot b'dvarim she'eshel v'chsav." Hitzakti es ha'shelef ne'era. I brought the shelef to Rabbi Soloveitchik. V'gam shalti. I also asked him, "Em yesh nafke mina im ish yoyim reshe Kaddish yachad itoy?" Does it make a difference if there's other men saying it in the shul with the woman in the lady section? Or she's the only one saying Kaddish? That was part of the question to Rabbi Soloveitchik. It was a follow-up question. A, can a girl say Kaddish? And B, would it matter if she's the only woman saying Kaddish or if there's other men? Now, if you remember from last week's shir, we mentioned the Mata Ephraim. The Mata Ephraim was more concerned about some Kol Isha issue. So obviously, if there's other people saying it, it would definitely help the Kol Isha issue. If she's the only one saying it, maybe it would be more problematic. So he writes like this, "Hey Shiv." Rabbi Soloveitchik answered, "She'einless nageid b'shnei ha'mikarim she'zeh muter." Don't be against it, because both situations are muter. What does that mean? It means Rabbi Soloveitchik held whether she's the only one in shul, whether there's other men. Rabbi Soloveitchik said she could say Kaddish. The Rabbi Shal Beit Gan Kassel, the Rav of Beit Gan, told me she got mushama shafnei shanim. He also heard a few years ago how you noshim dechnasel labatei knesias b'mei sharim. Women went into mei sharim to say Kaddish. Okay. Enter at your own risk. Okay, they're on their own there. The harbiz akedim zochu mikarim darmim, and a lot of elderly people said they remember. The gam kiniru hoyu imadatem alachti shal goini lito lahatir lenoshim loymer kaddish yosim. And old Jews in Meisharim told them. They said, you know what? We remember back in Lithuania, women used to say kaddish. I think I mentioned this last week. Someone in my shul told me that his father remembers. I think in the Chayodim shul, as we're talking pre-Holocaust, he remembers women saying kaddish. So there was definitely a time in history that in Lithuania, the women were saying Kaddish, which is what Reb Henkin told us, which is what Reb Moshe told us, and what Tzvika Reisman is telling us over here as well, that this was some old tradition in Lita, which is probably the last place you'd think they would allow it, but in Lita they were allowing the women to say Kaddish. It's a shame that the rope has been forgotten of that. You know, very often we like to remake history, we make up history. Here we forgot history. There was a time in history in Lithuania where they allowed it, and now it's not so popular. Okay. Then he writes over here, "V'agrid hoisif," and Rabbi Soloveitchik himself added, "Shehu zoiche," he remembers, "k'lifnei achurbin de'Europa, kishu haya b'Vilna." Rabbi Soloveitchik himself says, he remembers when he was in Vilna, "v'spalel b'kloy shal agra," he davened in the cloys of the gra, "isha haya yisa nechneses me'ucher," a lady walked in the back, "loy mekadosh achat tefillah service." A lady said Kaddish in the back, Amayev, and no one had a problem. Again, back to Lithuanian Jewry, where they had no problem with women reciting Kaddish. Then he writes over, "Mikra doy mehiskali echa mi gaboy bin minya mir be Brooklyn." One of the gaboyim in the mir in Brooklyn told me, "Shehed lefon of echa mispali aminya," one of the people in his minya told him, "Shami vesiki yeshivas mir shenoyel of the god of be Vilna." He was one of the early people in mir, he grew up in Vilna. When his ben doidoi, that's a cousin, his nephew, his ben doidoi, the son of his uncle, son of your uncle is your cousin, he was nifter and he had no sons. Pasak Reb Chaim Eiser Gazinsky, the great Reb Chaim Eiser, the poisek hador of pre-Holocaust Europe, the bita hamageris to the older girl, loyim kol yoyim, the beis haknesses bilvilna. Wow. can't get better than Chaim Moser. Chaim Moser was the Poisek Hadar. Chaim Moser said that she should say Kaddish every single day in the shul. The Sipur Harav, Shayuroya Sabas, Kol Yoim, Nechpezes, Abesak Nezes. He says he remembers seeing this girl. She used to go into the shul and she would say Kaddish. Then he goes on to tell you more. Someone learned about Chafetz Chaim, and Chafetz Chaim also allowed it. So clearly, there was a movement in pre-Holocaust Europe where the women were allowed to say Kaddish in some very reputable and very chashuv communities. So Rabbi Soloveitchik is just passing on what he saw, which is what Rabbi Henkin saw as well. So this should be, you know, as we say today, you could take this to the bank. This is gold. You know, this is stories of pre-war. It should be valuable very much. But that's at least one version. So according to these gedolim, it was definitely an accepted practice, and it was done in some of the most, what we call today, religious from circles. Mitzad Sheni, if you go back to the classical works, let's say the Gesher Chaim, and Michal Chikachinsky's classical work on this topic, he writes, Iker to'eles ha-kadish hu ba'amir sa'bein alov v'ima. The main purpose, what you want Kaddish to accomplish, is going to only work if a son says it. He says, why? Because we have a rule, Brom Zaka Abba. The Gemara says that the son is able to, it's over there. These are for next week. That's it? Okay, we ran out. I wasn't expecting such a big crowd. Okay, these are for next week. So I apologize. So Brom Zaka Abba. Vimloy Hisha ben Elabas says the Gesher Chaim. So what do you do if a guy only leaves a daughter? So he says it depends. Imhik Tana, if she's small, she's never a real orphan. She's under 12. Yesh mikar mishabish and mirashim lelo mikash besek nesas achaleinu. You hear the Gesher Chaim says the Gesher Chaim. If Nebuch a guy leaves over only daughters, and the daughter is little, she's under 12, which is stam is a sad story. He says she can go to shul and say kaddish in shul. Yesh mirashim lelo mafilu kaddish achrein kelokenu. She can even say the kaddish after in kelokenu. Elisha baruch oim megever. She can't say the baruch. Yesh mikar mishar some community she mirashim leklal lelo mabesek nesas. No, some shuls do not let her say kaddish in shul at all, which we saw already earlier. Bilti unless im yesh minyan bebeis etuch aloy mesham akadosh. So according to the Gesher Chaim, it depends on how old the girl is. If the girl's on the bas mitzvah, she could say it in shul. Mamish. If she's ready over bas mitzvah, then she shouldn't say it in shul, but she should say it, she could say it in a private minyan in the house. Then he concludes, bilti, but he says, bas godoyla, but if you have a big girl, lemirashim b'chol oifin lemirashim b'chol oifin, then she definitely cannot say kaddish at all in shul. He doesn't say. He could be he's going with the Chavaz Yoyer, slippery slope, sorry that we saw. He doesn't say. He just defines it as a new distinction, depending how old she is. So according to the Gesher Chaim, if you have a girl under the age of 12, she would be allowed to say Kaddish and Shul, L'chol Hashitas, L'chol Hadeis. If you take a look at number 21, the Sefer HaSeilach HaRav, he refers us back to our old Shuv. If you remember, last week we had a Shuv from the Shuv Yankov of Yaakov Reicher. Yaakov Reicher was the late 1600s, early 1700s, and he was the one who was a little bit more accepting, so to say, of a girl saying Kaddish in the house. So he writes like this, he says, HaRav Shvaz Yankov lo nishal im basi choy lo mekaddish oylav. He says, if you look in the tshuva, if you go back to the tshuva from last week's booklet, he says, you'll see they weren't asking the Shvaz Yankov, is a girl allowed to say Kaddish? The kosev kizeh dava pashe b'yoysal pi masho hei rav asho. That was a given. No one was debating whether or not she was allowed to say Kaddish. The only question back then was, is that if the girl's Kaddish exempts the father from saying Kaddish. If you remember, we had a Shvaz Yankov. Shvaz Yankov's question was that you had a guy who died, Nebuch, and he left only a daughter, and he has a father who's alive. And the father went to shul and wanted to say Kaddish. They told the father, you can't say Kaddish, someone's already saying Kaddish for your son. He said, who's saying Kaddish for my son? He says, your granddaughter. So the question was, does the granddaughter's Kaddish count? Says the Asil Charav, what do you see from that tshuva? They didn't start the premise with who told the girl she's allowed to say Kaddish in the house. That was a given. That's okay. The only question was, does the Kaddish in the shul, in the house, have enough to say that the father loses his kedim in the shul? So he says, you see from here, ukinim shekach nogo b'kila sehim. That was the practice. People say, oh, the Shvaz Yankov is the one who permits girls to say Kaddish. He says, no, the Shvaz Yankov is not permitting it. The Shvaz Yankov is just accepting what was already a pre-existing minhag. Elo idus mehimna. He's just testifying. That was the practice in those communities. However, you have to be fair and honest. There was no practice, as far as we've seen, dating back to women in the shul. The best that you find in the 1700s is that women were having private minyanim. That jump to allow a woman to say Kaddish in the shul, that is not found in these achronim. And these achronim, like the Shvaz Yankov and the others, they were all talking about private little shashtel minyanim in the house. Now, Reb Henkin made that jump, and he said he saw it in Europe. He said he was in shuls in Europe, and Reb Moshe and Reb Soloveitchik, they all said they saw that with their own eyes. So obviously, the jump happened in Europe. When, I don't know. But just to be fair and honest, if you look at at least what we'll call the Makairis in the Paiskim, they're only talking about cases where it's done somewhat in a more quieter way in a house. No, I don't think so. Doesn't sound like it. Yeah, it sounds like they were even above Bas Mitzvah. Yeah, doesn't sound like it. What? Right, right. It doesn't sound like it was. I don't think it was on the Bas Mitzvah. I think it was all. There, all and everything.
Is there a way we can think about why it might be better in the shul than in a house?
Better in the shul?
Might
why?
Better.
Why?
I don't know.
I would think.
It's less of an intimate atmosphere.
In the shul?
In the shul.
It's less intimate, but in the house it could be more intimate, family intimate wise. The problem with the shul is the slippery slope theory. You remember in the shul, well, a woman did this, next thing you know, the woman's going to do that. In the house, you know, the houses
that
are different.
The case where they said the slippery slope.
Correct.
In the house.
Right.
Not in the shul.
Correct. The question just was, in the shul, is there more of a reason to be
chayshish? So the reason is why we allow.
It's possible. Again, we haven't really seen any major ironclad reasons why it's wrong. Again, if it's a kalisha problem, it should be a kalisha problem wherever you are.
I mean, also, what does that mean?
Right, right. We have, it's very hard to understand it, right. So we, again, if someone asks you honestly, you know, it's funny, if you ask people, you know, what's the issue with the Lady Kaddish? No one really has a good answer. Like, you know, give me a good, show me Shulchan Aruch where it says they can. The answer is it's not really found anywhere. It's some combination of factors that you have to work out. And
Echrami. Does Kol Isha refer to the same words or only to
sin? So we pointed this out last week. It seems to be a very big chiddush to say it's a Kol Isha problem. That, if that would be the case, you really can't listen to a lady talk ever.
I think
it's a hard conversation to have.
I think it's a sneeze issue. I know there are not the regular obvious people would never go on and go to all the way after what the woman speaks.
A lot of people have that custom. Right, so that's a question of, right, there's a sneeze issue. When a woman gets up, that's, we have that in other halachas. A lady can't make kiddush for the whole shul. Why can't she? She can make it for her family. Make her a din. If a lady's home with her husband and her kids and her husband's not well and the wife is feeling good, she can make kiddush for the family. She might even be better because she's mechayv derais and then mechayv derabon. We discussed that dogma of Avos Kasha. But again, generally speaking, women don't do anything in the leadership, you know, where they get up and dash in front of men. That's a concept. So that was Rabbi Lau's issue. Rabbi Lau dealt with that issue. He felt that if the lady's going to be behind the mechitza, she's not mitzarev to the kaddish, and we left off tzarachin on that because that's not really true. Meaning, if let's say this room, there's a huge, beautiful kosher mechitza over here. I didn't measure it. I don't know if some Rebbe would say it's kosher. Definitely not with the glass. But okay, that we covered already. A different topic. We're not going to go through that again, right? So let's say there'd be a guy davening there. So there's 15 people here, one guy there. So the pashtus is he's not mitzarev for the minyan, but he's still going to get tefillah b'tzibur. Right? He's still going to get Tzvila B'Tzibur.
No, but so can you say Kaddish?
So Rabbi Lau makes this argument. He brings the Aron HaShulchan. He says, no, I can't. So that would be negated to a man. Let's say a man wants to say Kaddish. And he's Achayri Agedah. He's behind there. According to Rabbi Lau, he can't. Okay. I didn't think that's the way it came out from the sugya. I thought it came out he can't be number 10, because that's considered a Mokim if Ne'atzimah. But once they're doing it, I thought he could. But okay. But if you take a look in the last, I don't know why the last page did not get photocopied, Tzarechim by me, why not? So if you look at the last source, number 22, I'll have to read you the last page. So where does this all leave us? Halacha l'maaseh. So the answer really is, it's going to be up to the rabbi of the shul. That's the end of the story, is the rabbi is going to decide if he's comfortable with it, or if he's not comfortable with it. But just to end off number 22, he writes, V'inei she'elti yisagoyin l'pilchah Sheinberg shlit. So that's for Pilchah Sheinberg. Be'inyin zeh v'heshiv she'choyla loymer kaddish be'ezvus nashim. Pilchah Sheinberg. Big Godel. Spent some time in Europe also. He says, V'chein zoche ba'atzmoy she'kein hoyu hanashim oisin. Another eyewitness. He says he remembers. Pilchah Sheinberg didn't spend that much time in Europe because he's American-born. He was born and raised here, only went after he got married, and then World War II broke out and he came back. But he spent some time in Europe, to be fair and honest. He didn't spend his whole life there, but he remembers those years. And he says he remembers in Europe seeing that women would say Kaddish, so Pilchah Sheinberg has no problem with it. On the last page, we have, you know, just to balance things out, I put over here on the Sefer Kolboy, and I don't know why I didn't make to the photocopy machine over here. He writes over here, the Kolboy. Right, we spoke about the Kolboy, Rabbi Greenwald, who wrote his classical work on Hilchas Avelis. So there he writes over here, he says, the Ein Labas B'Kaddish, a girl has no connection to Kaddish, Ve'ein Ze'el Ashtos V'Kuchla V'Tulia. We mentioned that comment last week. It went over as well today as it did last week. Okay. So nothing changed over the week. So he writes at the end, he says, Ulam afilu ashvaz yankiv shehit bebeis loy mekadosh yochid hu bezeh. He says, no. He says, even the Shvaz Yankiv that permitted Kaddish in the house, he was a minority opinion. We just pointed out before, he wasn't a minority opinion. He was just proving what was the practice in the 1600s. So he gives the same answer that sometimes you have to tell a lady. Say, listen, you want to do something for your father, your mother's neshama, go to shul, go, daven, answer amen to every Kaddish, and that will be the greatest schus for the deceased. But just to wrap up the different sheets, if you take a look in the Yalkut Yosef, he says, Mishulah yinich banav acharav. Someone who does not leave sons, v'yinich banav, he leaves daughters, ein lahem loymar Kaddish. Rabbi Vadya's son says they cannot say Kaddish, afilu m'oysim minyan shal anashim b'bayis, even if there's a private minyan in the house. V'afim ma'av kosav tzavol l'bita shetay machar. Let's say the father writes in his will, I demand my daughter says Kaddish, beyois the ain loy ben loy tishmalai, do not listen. The emroitz loy mekaddish, the yishum luchas b'yodah, you have to stop it, says Yaakov Yosef. Ubefrap is manazeh, he says, no, today it's even worse, it's even more of a problem. Shall reforms in higum in hagizarus, sheishlami beperetz, beperetz, loy linukim in hagam. Says Yaakov Yosef, we got bigger problems today. We got the reform. We got all these new movements. If we don't stop it and say, no, women cannot do this, it's going to really get us into trouble. So he's basically saying the slippery slope of the 1600s is even worse in the year we find ourselves now. Then they asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They asked him, can a girl say? Now, in the question, they asked him, girl, above 12 or under 12? Both. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky's answer was, loy. No. Not with an aleph, loy with an aleph. Loy with an aleph, not with a vav. Reb Chaim Kanievsky passed on, absolutely not. Girls cannot say Kaddish. And that's also the opinion of the Nitta Gavriel, that girls cannot say Kaddish. So again, you have a little bit of everything over here. You have Yesh Ami Lismoich, some big poiskim, and you have those who are against it. But at the end of the day, Taima Bo'i, it needs a good reason to why exactly it's not allowed. But again, I don't think there's room to be Moiche if someone does do it. But clearly in Europe, it was definitely the practice, at least in Litvish part. Again, I'm assuming the Hasidic parts of Europe, it was not done. Galicia, Hungary, it was probably not done. Poland was not done. But in Lithuania, the Lithuanian, the Litvish circles, we have eyewitness testimony from very big Gedolim. They all saw it. Rebbe Scheinberg, Rabbi Salavechik, Rebbe Moshe, Rebbe Henkin, a whole list of very chashuv people. So again, definitely something to think about if you have to make that decision of who, if a woman could or can't say Kaddish. Okay. Yeah, you have it's something to think about. It's a good shaila of what to do. Okay.
Somebody asked a shaila. I was discussing with Moshe Kaufman this year.
Yeah.
So he said it's very funny. He said because the shaila came up to his father in the Aguda in Toronto a couple of years ago.
What did they say?
And the woman says to him, I want to say Kaddish because Moshe says so. He says, okay, let me look into it and I'll get back to you. And at that time, Reb Chaim was living. So she says, let's go to Reb Chaim. Bad choice.
Chaim Kanievsky.
Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He said he didn't have to answer. She says, "Well, I'm going to be sending someone to Reb Chaim. So whatever he says, I'll go by." She says, "Okay." He comes back. He says, "No." He said, "Okay."
Yeah, I would have told her that.
Well, she didn't know.
She didn't know. Yeah. Again, the problem is these are always very, very touchy topics. Obviously, whenever we deal with Misa and Neshamas, people get very invested. But again, if it's not what Halacha wants, then you're not helping anyone. That's kind of the answer you have to say. If Halacha says you're not supposed to say Kaddish, by saying Kaddish, you're not helping the Neshama. You're not helping the deceased. So you do what the other place can suggest. Either you hire someone. Again, it might be Kedai to have, you know, another family member say the Kaddish. We spoke about that. Shlomo Zalman is a big advocate for using grandsons. Now, very often grandsons also can't say Kaddish because that means someone died. But let the grandson down for the Amid, let the grandson do things, let the woman go to shul and answer Amid. But
grandsons say Kaddish if the parents give permission?
No. We Ashkenazim amachmer not to. We don't allow people to say it's ayin hara. It's ayin hara. We don't allow. Yeah, that we do. That the Ramah writes. But the minig is, it's interesting, this Ramah about saying Kaddish for live people is not in Hilchas Aveilos. Actually, it's in Hilchas Chelik Beis in Mishnah Berurah. It's a Marasayim. We're not, even though people say, I don't mind Marasayim, I'd rather, no. Us Ashkenazim are very Marasayim-based people.
You mentioned about grandsons last year. It's brought down that on days that an Aveil doesn't die.
That's right. The grandson should do it. Reb Shlomo Zalman writes like that. We mentioned that. But I haven't seen anyone do it in practice, at least not in New York. Maybe in Eretz Yisrael they do. But that's what Shlomo Zalman writes, 100%. Shlomo Zalman writes, if you have a day with an Aveil can't daven, the grandson should do it.
All the people that are waiting to daven, they don't want to
Right. That's a we mentioned when we came across that Rosh Hashanah. It's a kavaldik apsak. Rosh Hashanah says that bnei banim areim kebanim. It's so chashiv that it's kedai for them to take the yom. Okay, yeah. I didn't come across it, but that's not a right too much. Yeah, those people that came said they saw it, so they were all. They were wherever they were allowed to. They were, you know, they did it. Those communities. So again, kedai lismach alav big geoini oilam of the previous generations. Okay, switching gears a little bit, but really meinyan leinyan ba'isa inyan. I want to start a series. I don't expect it to take too many weeks because we have a lot of other goodies to get to. But one of the things I want to talk about is tefillah in a beis avol. Very often people go, and it's a good thing. We'll talk about how chashuv it is to daven in a beis avol. It might even be more kedai than closing the shul to have a beis avol tefillah. We'll get to it. But the shaila is, what do you do in a beis avol? So not always does a rabbi come to the beis avol to run the show. So the truth is, today, Baruch Hashem, there's so many svarim and siddurim that are written that you basically can paskin from the siddur, for the most part. But it's kedai just to go through some of the halachas of what you should be aware of. I'm not talking from the avol standpoint, from the non-avelim, from those people that are just helping to make a minyan, what you need to know in a beis avol. So it's interesting. If you take a look over at number one, there's a...
By the way, is it more important to daven in a beis avol? Let's say they have a minyan. But is it more important if you're going to be the 12th, 13th, or 14th, or go to shul and just roll
by? Yeah, if they don't need you, then there's no reason you have to go there. If they don't need you. But if they need you, then it's takam, what could that go? Because as we pointed out in other shurim, there's an element of chesed over here, if you're helping to make a minyan. You know, again, it's always better. If they don't need you, then it's more kedai to daven there. If they talk and need you, we'll talk about a case where this happens in my shul. I don't have enough people to go around. So if we take half a minyan to the beis avol, we ain't gonna have a minyan in the shul. So is it more kedai to cancel the minyan in the shul and everyone go to the beis avol or not? It's taka shayla on the poskim. But it's interesting, if you look in the Ramah, interesting, a couple of Ramahs over here in Yeridaya. We get to dabble a little bit in Yeridaya in the Avelis Simonim. If you take a look at number one, this is the booklet that says Tfilah beis avol. This, I hope there's, oh, there's not enough of these either. Okay. Tfilah beis avol, says the Ramah. There's a mitzvah to daven shachris and ma'ariv b'makim shemesham where the person died. Forget, we don't know where they're sitting shiva now. The person where the place died. Sometimes people die in their homes. Sometimes they die in the hospital. You can't have a minyan in the hospital. They don't let you in the emergency room to make a minyan. Sometimes they die in a nursing home. They don't let you. But some all that happens. Some people die in their bed. They die with, you know, in their own house. So there are more rights if they die in the place. If it's possible, you should try to have a minyan shachris va'arvis b'makim shemes sham. Where the person died, afilu ein avo. Even if there's no avelim there, ki yesh b'zeh nachas ruach l'nisham. Because this is good for the neshama. Don't ask me what that means. I definitely do not know. But whatever it means, this is something good. What? It sounds like even if it's not where he lived, right? We know when it comes to sitting shiva, there's a tzad that you should sit shiva where the person lived. Here we're not talking about the person died, right? He died in the next to neighbor's house, so you should try to have a minyan there. Yeah, so it's hard to know what he means by that. So I saw one sefer. The one sefer quotes this from Mani, says shachris mincha ma'ariv. Either a mother doesn't say that. So I wonder if he's using arvis as a fancy way of saying mincha also. I speculate.
Morning and evening.
Correct. He just means like morning services and evening services. That includes everything. That's what I'm speculating.
Does this apply to the entire week of Shiva? So
we're going to talk about it. So he says, at least it sounds like you should do it all the time. Now we're going to see what happens if there's a base level somewhere else. Right, sometimes the base avol in the place where the guy died is the same place. So that's perfect. Sometimes it's not. Right, the person died in his house and his children are sitting shiva in their house. Or the person died in the hospital. The person died in a nursing home. It's not the same place. So we'll have to see. Then the Ramah writes, v'ha avol mitzdarif al minyan. So the avol does join the minyan. So let's say, for example, everyone knows in the base avol, sometimes it's hard to get mispalalim. So if you have the avol or you have multiple avelim, they all count as the minyan, even if it's the first day of avelis.
Why would you think?
Right. The question is, because we're going to learn that the Avil has like a funny status. He's not allowed to learn Torah. He might not even be supposed to down for the Amid, which we'll talk about. So maybe he can't even join the Minyan. So we'll see. So if you take a look over here, in Reb Kiveger, he writes, Vafilu b'yom rishon, udeloi kemaril. The Taka Maril, who says he can't. Now, what's Pshat Maril? I don't know. But there is definitely a sheet. Reb Kiveger is acknowledging that Taka holds an Avil is not mitzvah for Minyan. We don't pass like that. We hold an Avil is mitzvah even the first day of Shiva. Now, take a look at number three. This is a mechaber. The mechaber writes, "Im ein sham misha yispala lohitzis v'ayim dechavasan." If there's no one else who could daven for the yomid, yochal la'ovel espala lohitzion. Then the ovel is allowed to daven for the yomid. So, what type of mashmois do you get from the mechaber? Then the ovel is not supposed to daven for the yomid. Every time you go to the Beis Avel, who's leading the services? The Avel, right? So what's going on with it? This Mechamed Shulchan Aruch is clear that the Avel is only supposed to lead the services if there's no one else. There's almost, Tei Baruch Hashem, most, Ruba the Ruba of Klal Yisrael knows how to read, for the most part, okay, it could work a little bit on Korea, we all could, but for the most part, they can read. So you could always find someone else to daven. So why? Huh? No, no, he's not talking about Shabbos, he's talking about Chol. So if you take a look over here in the Kitta Shulchan Aruch, he points this out, as do other Achareinim, that this mechaber is talking about when it's not for a parent, when it's for a sibling. It's avails of shloishim. Writes the kitzer avol toich shiva. But if it's during shiva, ein loy lispal of neateva ella im ein sham achem mishispal achem uovel al ove v'imoy. But if it's a parent, no. Noigim shem ispal of neateva avol pishiyin shamach. Says the kitzer shulchan aruch. No. This mechaber, even though he doesn't say it, the reading of the mechaber is very vague, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, this whole mechaber is talking about for a teich shloishim type of avelis, for a parent, for a sibling, or for a spouse, or for a child, but for a parent, no. Then the avel gets rights to the yamid, which is what we all do today. No, I never really saw anyone be masberit. I guess the svara is that for a parent, it's a big schos to down for the yamid for a parent. Right, so for the other ones, we'll see that sometimes we usually don't give the Avelim too much activity. But here, when Avel davens the Yom for a parent, it's a big source for the parent. And that's why we're going to allow it. If you look in the Geshur Chaim, he points out, he says, let's say you can't really daven where the person died. Right, the guy died in a nursing home. They're not going to let you bring in 10 people to daven in a nursing home for a week. So he says, at at least try to have the first tefillah. And this, I have not heard of people really being makbanon too much. Again, you can have a person dies in his house, and the kids live in another place, so they sit shiv in another place. You don't find that they make a minyan in the place where the guy died. You don't hear it. I'm not sure why. So we'll see. Maybe the heter is because they have services in the Beis Avel. Since they're having services in the Beis Avel, they don't have to also have it in the Mokayim Shemes. And this sounds like we're talking about where there's not going to be services in the Beis Avel. That gratitude could be negay sometimes. Let's say you have a situation where people are not religious. So the kids aren't sitting shiva. They're not sitting shiva, they're not from, they're not. So then maybe it's kedai for the people who know the maze to at least put a minyan together where he died. At least get something out of it. And the kids are not sitting shiva, so it's not going to be a Beis Avel. So at least try to have one tefillah after he dies, or she dies, to have in the makam shemaze to be mekayim this halach. If you take a look over at number 6 in the Sefer Doidei HaSodeh, this is in the early 1900s, tshuva. He has an interesting shayla, which again, I have had the shayla in my shul. You have a small shul, you don't have a lot of people to go around. So if you're going to go to the Beis Avel, there's not going to be enough people in your own minyan. So you have to close the shul. Is that kedai? Is it kedai to close the minyan in shul and move everyone to the Beis Avel? The shul was closed. Okay, there you go. Maisa shayla. So that's a shayla again. So Baruch Hashem, today in our frum communities, there's so many Jews going around. Usually not a shayla, but all that happens. You have a small little shul with otta 12 people. If you take those 12 to the Beis Avel, shul's going to be closed. Yeah, sure. The smaller communities. I even know of some communities which we'll talk about where they can't even get a minyan in the Beis Avel. The Avel has to travel to shul, which is the Paiskim Amater. Again, today it's so unheard of us because Baruch Hashem, we're very spoiled here. You know, we all have friends and neighbors, so all of a sudden you need a minyan, and the whole place packs in. But Amol, you have a very small community, and no one wants to go to the Beis Avel. They only want to daven in the shul. During the week, they don't come to minyan, and you're stuck. So the Avel gets in the car. So that's what he's going to talk about. Mamzer's going to talk about this idea. So if you remember, we had a share a while ago where we talked about this idea of closing the shul and people davening by other places. So, but this is sometimes a real shayla. So he writes like this: Nira li pashut kiven shezehu vaday mitzvah gedoyla lispal ba'asar b'makim shemesham. He's actually talking about the case of makim shemesham. But again, same thing as the Beis Avel. He says it's a big mitzvah. Quotes the Gemara in Shabbos be'ivda. The mace came to him in a dream and said, you did such a good thing for me by having a minion. So you see, this is a real thing. This is not just a nice thing. It's a real thing. He says, therefore, to close shul for a couple of days is not awesome. It's not awesome. The dafka levatal gamri haminyan b'makim shayim minyan kavu b'zayish iser. Let's say the whole shul goes to Florida for the week. Okay, Gishmak, everyone goes away. You close the shul for a couple of days. That's not a problem. If you close your shul permanently, that's when you got problems. Therefore, he writes over here that since you're going to do it for a good reason, he thinks you should do it. He thinks it's kedai to close the minyan in the shul, move everyone to the Beis Avo, and this way you'll have tefillos in the Beis Avo. If you take a look at number 7, this Ramaz...
Mm-hmm. We know somebody will say Kaddish for them, but should you have a separate minion for them?
I would have a minion, one tefillah, with a place where he died. That much I would do. More than that, I wouldn't push. If you can get it done, you know, obviously everything gets... I would say is kedai to try. To be kind of this Ramah of having people daven with Makam Shemes. But other than that, there's not much more you can do.
He's saying if you're not doing it with Makam Shemes, and you wouldn't do this.
Right, he's saying that obviously you have to have a good reason. My example of Florida is not a good reason to close the shul for a couple of days.
But let's say somebody, the typical case where he dies in the hospital and right. Then you have an avelis is in someone's house.
Right. So the question is if you're going to have shiva being observed somewhere else, then it's... The question is, let's say in the shiva house, it's the question. Let's say the shiva house doesn't have a minion.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. This doesn't seem to apply then.
No, because the way we're going to learn, we'll see in a second, Ramah, that the equivalent of davening where the guy dies is the same thing as the shiva house. Which is why we don't do both today, because we have the other one. If you take a look in the Ramah number 7, the Ramah writes...
Where did we see that they equate to...
I'll say in a second. He writes, because of Maril, Noigim le'espalel ba'asara kol shivo, b'mokim sheniftar shama adam. Again, same phrase. He's supposed to daven all 7 days, the place where the person died. V'hainu al adam shle'niach kroivim yadum le'savalov. That's only where there's no one going to be being nesaval for him. But there's going to be no one else. Meaning this Ramah sounds like that the only time you need to have the mokim that he died is when you're not going to have people keeping shiva in what we call today a shiva house. But if you're going to have a shiva house, then it sounds like you don't have to also have the place where he died. If you take a look over in the Chedusha Gershuni, he quotes over here a Chedush on the side. He says, again, heart-wrenching, no one should ever know of it. He quotes from the Kolboy. Misavla al-Katan. We have avelos for children who die. But you don't have davening in the house if the child was less than a year old. Now, I came across a couple interesting chedushim in the Sefer written by Rabbi Aaron Felder Zatzal. He quotes from Rav Moshe two interesting psakim. Rav Moshe talks about a bungalow colony. Now, again, a bungalow colony means a bungalow that's about the size of that little square corner over there. I don't mean today these beautiful homes that people have in the mountains. Rav Moshe was asked, let's say a guy sitting shiva up in the mountains, he's going to have a minion in his bungalow. He could barely fit his family into the bungalow. You're going to schlep 10 men to sit like this, you know, square. So Rabbi Felder quotes B'Shem Rav Moshe. I'm assuming this is the logic. He doesn't explain that Rav Moshe said that an Ovel does not have to, in the bungalow colony, does not make a minion in his bungalow. He makes the minion in the shul. I'm assuming, unless I'm wrong, it has to do with space issues. But I don't know. That's my speculation. But that's what he quotes B'Shem Rav Moshe. And he also writes B'Shem Rav Moshe that Rav Moshe held if a bachur's in yeshiva and he's sitting shiva in yeshiva, then he also doesn't make his own minion. He davens as part of yeshiva. So, B'Shem Rav Moshe. I don't know. It doesn't explain why, but that's what he quotes B'Shem Rav Moshe. And he also quotes B'Shem Rav Moshe that if an Ovel has no minion in his house, he travels to a minion. He gets in the car and he drives. He has to drive. He drives to the local shul. And we'll talk. Some of the halachas are going to change that if you're diving in a base Ovel or you're diving in a minion that happens to have an Ovel in it. It's going to have different halachic status. So that's one thing. The Baruch Hashem today, Klai Yisrael, is fantastic. Mr. Askin, they do amazing work. They bring everything. They bring the chairs. They bring the chumashim, the Sefer Torah. We'll get to that later next week, the moving of the Sefer Torah. But today, Baruch Hashem, it's more understandable and conducive to have a minion in the actual base. Oh, the Avelim don't have to travel. They don't have to move. It's a lot easier. Now, let's get to some of the halachas. So number 9, bottom of the first page, right corner, a little hard to read. Noagu, the minigish, loylipo, alpneim, loybe base ovav, loybe base achasin. Two opposite emotions. Shulchan Aruch writes, there's two places you don't say tachron. One in a beis oval and one is a beis achasen. Right? One means pashtas chasen during sheva brachas, you don't say tachron, and the other is in a beis oval. Now, the pashup shot is these two things are the most opposite experiences in the world. Beis oval is the most depressing and the sheva brachas is the most joyous. So, but the fact that Mechaba puts the two together might not indicate the same reason, just indicates the same halacha. So there is no tachron recited in a beis oval. Why? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah number 10, left corner, he writes, the reason is, why? V'hatam, the azmida sadin mesucha alav. We know, we discussed this when we went through the sugyas of Tachanun, Tachanun is very much connected to midas hadin. It's one of the reasons why the chassidim don't say Tachanun by mincha. Minchas later in the day, okay. Depending what time you daven shkia, what time you call shkia for, but that's why they don't say tachanun. So tachanun is connected to midas hadin. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in a base oval, the midas hadin is very strong. It's not exactly a time of rachamim, it's more of a time of din. And that's why we don't want to be magbir the din, we don't want to bring stronger midas hadin, and therefore we just stay clear of tachanun. That's obviously not the reason in a base oval. Beis Ovel is the exact opposite. Beis Ovel, I'm sorry, in the Sheva Brachas is the exact opposite. Now, there's no Midas Adin. It's actually a time of Simcha. But according to the Mishnah Berurah's reasoning, there's no Tachanun in the Beis Ovel because of Midas Adin. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he calls the Mamash an opposite pshat. He writes, Yesh Mishoimer Atam Ba'ovel Mishum Dechsev Vafachti Chageichem Le'evil. And we know that pasuk, Vafachti Chageichem Le'evil, that Hashem says, I'm going to turn all the bad into good. What does that mean? It means that even though right now this family is heartbroken, they lost a family member, but it's eventually going to be good. And since it's eventually going to be good, it's like Tisha B'Av. Right? Tisha B'Av is the one day we don't say Tachanun. Why? Because we know Tisha B'Av one day will become a Yom Tov. So here also, even though right now there's pain and sorrow, but one day things will get better. So he writes over Ve'eni Maven. I don't understand. Tanihi, it's true that Dashina Mikanda Avel Zayin Dumi Deregel. We do learn out that there's certain halachas that compare Shiva with Yom Tif. Avel Inyin Zeh Mashayach Dumi Deregel. Adirab Havei Hepech Miregel. You're going to tell me though what? The reason why you don't say Tachanun in a base oval is because it's like Yom Tif. It's like Yom Tif. The base oval is the most opposite like Yom Tif experience. He says Venira Hatam Shalei Lahagba Midas Adin. So he goes back to Mr. Brewer's reason. He does not like this reason because it's like a Yom Tif, and he doesn't believe that, and therefore the minig is that that's not the accepted reason. Okay, it doesn't really matter so much what the reason is. The facts are still the facts. We don't say Tachanun. The question is, what happens when you go home? Does this exempt you while you're in the base oval? Once you cross out, now you got to say Tachanun? Or this is like an all-day pass, right? You never have to say Tachanun all day long because you would have the base oval.
Do you mean after Shachris you say it again? Or does it mean that you get a pass from Mincha?
No. It means that you go home after Shachris. So Shachris, now you have to say Tachanun. You only didn't say Tachanun because you were in the base oval. Now you're not in the base oval. Huh? Ah, that's what we're going to see. Now the Shachris is going to come up more Bli Neder in hopefully 2 weeks. We're going to talk about Halal in the base oval. I wanted to get this before Hanukkah, but it didn't allow for it. What about Halal and Beis Ovel? There already you could talk about Halal is much more geshmak, because Halal is an independent tefillah that has nothing to do with the Shemana Esrei. So we'll see. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah over here, number 12. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Vafilu acha sheyotze mibeisei ein tzarech loimer. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no, Tachlun is a full day pass. I don't mean mincha. I mean a full day shachris pass. If you daven shachris at a Beis Ovel, that's why there's always people lining up on Mondays and Thursdays to daven at the Beis Ovel. Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Fridays, not such a push to daven at the Beis Ovel, right? Says the Mishnah Berurah that after you leave the shul, ain't tzarech loimer tachlun. Why? Mikoymoy miyad achat tefillah shemana esrei. Because why? I'm sure the taina that what? That the purpose, the place of tachlun is inserted after shemana esrei. You can't say it 2 hours after daven. But not so fast. He says, "Avo v'hu rachim yoyim racha kach bebeisoy." But v'hu rachim you do. Which is, even if you go on a Monday, Thursday, you got to go home and say v'hu rachim. How many people do that? Yeah, we'll leave it at that. The yesh mekilim b'zeh says, "Mishmar." No, there are people that are makeable with that also. So everyone's saying on this. Everyone's saying, "I'm a yesh mekilim." That yesh mekilim on this also. V'hine. Says the Mishnah Berurah, calls a dafka be base oval and emes tachnu shle lag be mitzvah din. This is only true if it's in the base oval. Avo kisha oval mispal be base knesses. Let's say the oval has to come to shul, or be bayis acher, or it's another house. Then ein atzibar nigra and achrof. Amazing. It's only if it's what we call a base oval. If it's not a base oval, we'll have to see what makes something a base oval.
1 second. So when you say bayis acher, does that mean, let's say, if the kids don't sit in the parents' house but they sit in their own house?
So that's what we have to figure out. What makes something a base oval? So what does it mean to be a base oval? Meaning is they're sitting shiva in room A and they're just davening in house B, or the pshat is that the person died in house A and they're sitting shiva in house B. Well, we'll get to it. Right. Well, no. Here we're saying that the oval is in another place, and then the halacha is ein atzibur gerachov v'ayim tachron. What? So the easy case is when the oval comes to shul. That's the easy case. Now, what would Rav Moshe say in his case when the oval goes to the shul in the bungalow colony? Is that called a base oval, or is that called a base knesses? We'll have to try to figure this out. He writes, even though even if the oval has to come to shul, so the rest of the shul says tachron, the oval does not say tachron. Still, the oval doesn't say tachron. Let's say you daven with a person died. Let's say, like our case, you make a minyan with a person died, and there's no avelim here. And it's not a base oval, because after this minyan, we're closing up, and everyone's going home. So the rabbi has it sad that even in that case, you shouldn't say tachron. Why? Because even though it's not what we call a Beis Shiva, it's not a Shiva house, but it's still Makam Shemes. So therefore, since it's a Makam Shemes, the Rabbah thinks that maybe you should not say Tachanun even in that case. Now the rest of this piece we're not going to read now because B'li Nedu, we have a whole other shir on it, Halal in the Beis Avel. So what do we have so far? We have no Tachanun in the Beis Avel, no Tachanun in a classical Beis Avel, and even in a classical Beis Avel, it would sound like that the Avel himself for sure doesn't say. And even if you go to another place to have Tachanun, the Avel would still not say. But everyone else attending does not say, and we all know the practice is even on Monday, Thursdays, when you get home, you don't say V'l'rachim, even though the Mishnah Berurah only called that a Yesh Mekil. Yeah.
So if somebody passes away, they were living in Queens, and their kids all live in the five towns, is there a problem with them sitting Shiva?
So that's a different conversation, which I don't know if we did or didn't have in the past, about where the stammas they have Shiva. There is an Inyan, many Paiskim, to have Shiva where the person lived his life. Not about where he died, but where he lived, where his makom was. A lot of people don't do that today because they say, listen, there's not enough room, it gets sticky, it gets hard. So a lot of people are makom with that. That's going to be a different shayla. But here we're talking about the shayla where the guy actually died versus where the Beis Shiva, where the Beis Avos is going to be situated. And if you look in the Derech HaChaim, the Nesivis, he writes, "Ein noifel ha'pneim b'Beis Avo kol Shiva, shivas yomim shal ha'velus, v'afilu b'mincho shayim zayin, v'afilu ha'yosim katan." That's a good shayla, Nebuch. Let's say the only person sitting Shiva is a little kid on the bar mitzvah. Does he also pater the Tachanun? So the Derech HaChaim says yes, he does.
It doesn't seem to be the person, it seems to be the Beis
Avo. Right, so the question is, does a little kid create a Beis Avo? He's on the bar mitzvah. Again, he is an Avo, but I guess that's part of the shayla. You know. Now we'll see in a second, and what about a woman? Let's say you have a Beis Avo that's only women. Maybe, right, exactly. So chiddush number one is a katan. Next chiddush from the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, not Ibsham Zalman Orbach, he writes, "Va'afilu etzel ave lo, ein oimim lo yahalo v'lo yitachanu v'lo yivahu rachum." If there's only a female sitting Shiva. Now again, you want to start breaking down the reasons, you can work it out, but Allah Chalamai said this is the accepted psak, that lets you come to a base, and this happens all the time, you come to a base, Avil, and there's no one, there's only women sitting Shiva. Okay, fine. The lady's not.
Is there not, to make a minion in such a place?
Sounds like he still should.
And then they can say
Kaddish then. Okay. So the Maya said the minig is you wouldn't say Tachan in that case either. Okay, so let's keep it. Oh, maybe not. Okay. So far we covered the relatively easy parts. We'll believe that next week talk a little bit more about Tachanun, and then we'll get into some of the actual text of the Tefillah, what you take out, what you don't take out, what the Ava skips, what the rest of the Kehillah skips, and Mr. Hashem will cover that, hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, next week.
Mm-hmm.